Welcome to Forest City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. We hope that you find today's message encouraging on your journey of figuring out what it looks like to follow Jesus in the 21st century.
So today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be here. And like Pastor Jordan said, we are working through a series called Flourish on the Fruit of the Spirit. And I feel really excited for today because we get to speak and learn about the aspect of love. And if I'm being honest, it feels like there's a lot of weight on this message because as we're going to dive into, love is so foundational to our experience with the Lord. And it is so essential in our walk with Christ. And so as I've been praying for us this week, I have been asking the Lord that he will come and awaken our hearts once again before him. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning feeling tired of church or tired of religion or tired of walking with Jesus. And my prayer for you this morning is that as we talk about love and maybe we're challenged in our perspective of love, that we come alive to Christ again. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, nah, I'm in love with the Lord. I'm stoked for today. Let's talk about it more. Then I just pray that today is an encouragement, that it's a reminder of this great love that we find ourselves in and this love that is being produced in us. And I'm sure that even as I mention love, there's a lot of different thoughts and ideas and directions of where we might be going, or a lot of voices that speak into the aspect of love. The great philosopher, Hathaway, he's a singer, would always say, "What is love? Baby, don't hurt me." Yes, and Tina Turner herself said, "What's love got to do with it?" So we've been asking these questions for a while, and we want to know. And today, I really think we're going to dive into it a little bit. And I think one of the greatest changes in the last few years in our society, as we've talked about love, is there's been this perspective shift from love being a romantic relationship to love being around us. That love's something that all humans experience in many different forms. In our family, with our friends, with strangers we meet, that love is a shared human experience. And there's this one show that I feel like really highlights that idea. And it's on Prime, it's called Modern Love, and it's based off of a New York Times article where people in New York would submit stories of modern love experiences they had. And so then the show was created to highlight some of the best stories. When I watched it, I found it so interesting because all of a sudden there was these stories sharing love shared between humans in many different ways. And one of the episodes is this girl, she lives in an apartment building, and the like doorman for her building, it's a story between them and how he becomes like a father figure. And she's single and she has a kid and she's trying to figure out her life. And then this man just supports her and cares for her and becomes such a loving father figure for her. And spoiler, in the end of the episode, she moves away and there's a big heartbreaking moment. But it's this example that, whoa, love is shared between people in many different forms. There's some really good episodes. Season 2, episode 8 is my favorite, in case you want to check it out. They transitioned to the UK in the second season, so if you like accents in your shows, would recommend. But truly, it's so fun. And also really fun actors. Never mind. Okay, that actually doesn't matter. We can move on. But I love that it changes our perspective of what love could look like. And as I was watching it, and as I know Jesus and experience the love of Jesus, I was seeing the show and I found so many little moments that just share this desire to love like the love that is given to us from the Lord. And I don't know if these stories were written by Christians or not, but I could just see things that reminded me of what we learn about love in Scripture and how truly as humans, our desire is to be loved and to love. And that's something so essential to our human experience. And so as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, as we talk about what love is being produced, what the love is being produced in us through the Spirit, I think it's so important that we understand what we're actually talking about. Because as I watched this show, I was like, I'm sure there's many different definitions that are coming out of the shared human experience of love. And I'm sure we can all think of many different voices that tell us what love looks like or what love is. But luckily enough, Scripture has laid out the truth for us. And as followers of Jesus, we turn to Scripture to learn the truth, to ask questions, to challenge perspectives, so that we can know what the heart of the Father is and what He is guiding us into. And so this morning, that is what we're going to do. This morning, my hope is that the question, what is love, we will have an answer for it to some extent. And I'm hoping that we will talk about where is this love coming from? What is this invitation of love that we're experiencing? And lastly, we're going to hit on this idea of what is life without love? And so I'm just going to pray for us before we continue to move on. So just bow your heads and join me in prayer. Jesus, thank you that you're present. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you love us. And Father, as we continue to unpack that this morning, yeah, Lord, may you make this more real for us. And not that it's not real, but Father, we get so distracted and there's so many thoughts that fill our brains and there's so many things that are going on that are pulling our attention away from here. And so Lord, I pray that together we are locked into what you are saying. Father, may my voice disappear, and Spirit, may your voice be loud and clear. And so Jesus, may we just be obedient to you this morning. May we fall more in love with you this morning, and may we be amazed at the love that is given to us through you. And so Holy Spirit, thank you for the work you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. And in all things, Jesus, we love you. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, in case you haven't caught on. And it is the classic love verse when we talk about love in the church. So if you've been around church, you've probably heard this verse many times. But I really do think it is our best definition of what love is. And when we're answering the question, what is love, we need to look at what Scripture says here. And so I'm going to be reading through it, and we're just going to be dialoguing with what is written right here in Scripture. So I would really encourage you to grab one of the Bibles, to open it up and follow along, and just allow those words to resonate with you this morning. So I'm just going to read it again. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So a quick pause here. I think the first thing that we hear in this chapter is that love is essential to our Christian walk. That love is integral to our Christian walk, that as we are following Jesus, we need to understand love, we need to have love, we need to be engaging with love, it's essential. And without love, technically everything we do is pointless. I could be up here preaching the best sermon you've ever heard, and I could have spent hours researching and feeling like I know the topic better than anyone in the room, but if I do not have love, it's pointless. And someone who's just found church for the first time, and they love Jesus with all their heart, and they want to know him, but they have never really read scripture before, but they love him, they have much more than I do. Love is essential. Love is needed. And so it creates this understanding that we actually really need to know what love is. And as we are asking the question of what is the fruit of the Spirit, what is the Spirit producing in us, we need to know what love is. We need to have it so that as the Spirit produces these things, we are doing it rightly. And I think it's interesting, Michael Timmis, he wrote this, talking about love and the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, the way I define love is by using the fruit of the Spirit, which starts with love. I believe that joy is love rejoicing, peace is love at rest, patience is love waiting, kindness is love interacting, goodness is love initiating, faithfulness is love keeping its word, gentleness is love empathizing, and self-control is love resisting temptation. Love is essential for our journey here. So let's keep reading in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is what love sounds like. This is the tone of love. This is what it feels like. These description words paint the picture of the tone of love. This is the love we're talking about today. This is the love that is given to us through Christ. This is the tone of this love. It is kind. It is patient. It is not selfish. It champions others. It encourages and uplifts others to step into their identity found in Christ. It seeks the best in others. It speaks truth in love and delight. It turns away from evil. It takes care of people and protects them. It produces hope in us and helps produce hope in others. It stands the test of time. This is the love that is produced in us. And in verse 8, it says this, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Church, the love of God, the love that is produced in us through the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, will remain forever. What I love here is that it paints this picture that when heaven is a reality, when eternity with Jesus is our day-to-day reality, prophecy and tongues and knowledge and things that Jordan highlighted last week. And if you haven't heard the sermon that introed this series, I would strongly recommend going to listen to it because I think it paints the context of what we're talking about for the next few weeks. But often when we think of the Spirit, we think of these big charismatic moments. But in 1 Corinthians, it says those things will disappear one day. One day when we are face to face with Jesus forever, those things disappear and what remains is love. For love has always existed and love will always be. And this is the love that we are given and that we are living in and that is being produced in us, that it remains forever. And what's so cool is that as we learn about these characteristics, as we learn about the tone, that we are also learning about who our God is because our God is love. And that the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is to make us into the likeness of our Creator, and our Creator is love. And so therefore, as we hear about these characteristics, that love is patient, that love is kind, we can know, yes, this is what is being produced in me, but this is also the face of my Father who loves me with this love. What's fun about our definition here is that it continues to be shaped as we study other aspects of Scripture because, yes, this is the tone of love, but then what does love look like? how is it in action? And we're going to actually jump to 1 John chapter 4 to understand what that looks like. And starting in verse 7, so I'll give you a little time to turn there if you'd like, 1 John chapter 4. But in verse 7, it says this. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. I love that 1 John affirms that love is essential for our walk with Jesus, that it comes into agreement with what 1 Corinthians says. But right here, it says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God, and we know God. And since God loved us, we must love one another. This love that comes from God was given to us, and therefore we get to share this love. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Made complete in us. It reminds me a lot of how we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that the fruit is making us into the likeness of God, that as we love, his love is made complete in us, and it shapes us into the likeness of God. A commentary on this passage, and it's also highlighted later in the chapter, says, it's really easy to love an invisible God, but once you have to love your brothers and sisters in front of you, that's where the test begins. That's where you start to ask the question, okay, Spirit, am I being kind? Am I being patient? Am I being obedient to the love that you are calling me into? That is our way that we begin to understand it and almost put it into action. That yes, this is the tone. Love is patient. Love is kind. But as we start to live it out, we start to ask ourselves, okay, Lord, paint the areas. Show me the areas in my life where I am not following you, where I'm not being obedient. Where can I love people well? And I, as I was studying this and looking into this, I felt like, hey, Lord, this is a lot. This feels like a lot for me. This idea that there's this long chapter painting this tone of love, and then immediately in 1 John it says, love people, love others, and if you don't, you do not know God. And it felt like this, okay, Lord, who am I not loving? I want to know you. How do I do this? What does this feel like? How? It felt so big and daunting. And as I walked around my day-to-day, I felt like it was in the back of my mind of, did I love them right? Did I love those people right? Was I patient enough? Was I kind enough? And it was this question of, okay, Lord, how do I do this? And as I was sitting on it, I was reminded that this love that is being produced in us is also given to us. And it simply is an invitation towards us. And that for ourselves, when we come to understanding of this love and how we understand this love and how we live this love out, is simply by saying yes to the invitation that is laid out before us. What blows my mind as we learn about love is that it is not ours alone to source or to like figure out how to do, or it comes from our strength. But this love first appeared to us as an invitation through Jesus. Jesus, in all of his wonder, came to earth and lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could become the atoning sacrifice for all of humanity's brokenness. And out of love, Jesus endured the cross, considering it joy, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. And as Jesus did, he made a way for all of us to come into right relationship with God. He gave us an invitation purely motivated by love and to love. Love has been chasing us down, and Sarah reminded us about that this morning with Reckless Love, that love has been chasing us down and it is coming after us. That this love that we are supposed to live out, that we are having produced in us, is given to us. That it's been chasing us down. And maybe you're wondering, okay, like why does God almost have the authority to do that? What does this love look like? How is God able to do this? And it simply is, like I said, God is love. He has always been love. He will always be love. Our God has always loved and will love. And love is one of the most intricately woven aspects of his character, so instilled in how he functions that the very way we are told to see God is to know his love. The very way we are told to picture him and understand him is to see his love. And so this morning, we're going to shift up our tone a little bit and enter into almost a theology class. And we're going to grow our understanding of who God is. But before that, I need to grab my water because I forgot to bring it up. So I'm just going to grab that. We're going to enter into a theology class and talk about how we're viewing God. And it might feel like a bit of a stretch because we're going to talk about the Trinity. So if you're familiar with that concept, you're probably already like, oh, great, I was not ready to think about this morning. And if you're not, that's okay. We're going to dive into it. And it is a bit of a complex way to view God, but it is the way that we view God. And so track with me. I'm no expert. I will try my best to explain it in the way that we need to understand it so that we can grow our understanding of love this morning. But personally, the Trinity always feels like a roller coaster for me, and I feel like I'm trying to understand it more each day. So no pressure if this doesn't land exactly for you, but try with me. So to get us on the same page, as evangelical Christians, we have a monotheistic faith where we believe in only one God, okay? But we have a Trinitarian view of God, and that means we hold these three doctrines with it. They're going to be on the screen. There's one God and only one God, which is a monotheistic faith, only one God. This God not only exists, but exists eternally in three distinct persons, meaning God has existed forever and will always exist. He exists as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And all three have always existed and all are one. Right, okay. The three persons are equally divine in essence and attributes. There is no hierarchy to who is more important or relevant. They're all equally God, and they are all equally one. Right. Okay, so I'm sure the much smarter people in the room totally get it, picture it. If you're more like me, it takes a bit. When I look at those doctrines, I'm always like, okay, awesome. And I have to remind myself that our job with these is to hold these three truths simultaneously. And our job is to allow the mystery of God to inspire us to know him more. And so this isn't about completely understanding this, but to start piquing a new understanding of who God is. And I think it's really important in the context of love to view our God in the Trinity. Because what does the Trinity teach us about love? It shows us that from the beginning of time, at the very center of the universe, from the very center that gives us life, Revelation reminds us all life comes from God. In heaven on earth, there is a relationship. There is love. That our God, in his three distinct parts, he loves himself. God loves the Son and the Spirit. The Son, Jesus, loves the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit loves the Father and the Son. And the Spirit is inviting us, all of us, into this love. This is where the invitation of love is extended to us. That the Spirit is alive and active and wants all of us to know who God is more. And so this invitation is given to everyone. And Daryl Johnson, in his book, Experiencing the Trinity, which I would strongly recommend if this is piquing your interest to read that book, he puts it like this. And here is the gospel. The God who is love draws near to me, a sinful, mere mortal, to draw me near to himself. In order to draw me within the circle of lover, beloved, and love itself, I become a co-lover with God. It is the very reason for my existence and for yours and for every other person who lives or has ever loved on this planet. The living God, as a Trinitarian God, those three doctrines, is an infinitely content God. God is not isolated. God is not needy. God is not missing anything. Yet, because the love of the lover and beloved cannot be contained, God creates us to be co-lovers with him. That is, God expands the circle to include us mere mortals within the circle of knowing himself. This relationship of pure, wonderful love cannot be contained. It is too rich. It is too powerful. It is too beautiful that God has made all of us to be co-lovers alongside himself. Church, he will not lead us where he has not been before. And as he asks us to step into this love and to love him with this love, he is saying this love has already existed and I am making space within myself for all of you to join in with what is happening here. God invites us to love him as he is loving himself. He is already doing it. God is already loved. God is complete. God is content. God doesn't need us to love him, but he wants us to love him. He wants our attention. He wants our time because he loves us that much. That our God is perfect and complete, and that should give us a sense of peace and an excitement to then know him more. And in this circle of love, in the Trinity, in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is space for all of us to enter in and experience this love. God has made a way through Jesus, and we are invited into that, into the source of all love. And that is where we come to know this love that 1 Corinthians talks about. That love is patient, that love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, that it turns away from evil. Where do we learn that? We learn that as we come and we love God and be loved by God as he is loving himself. That blows my mind, actually, and it's still blowing my mind. But the wonder of love and the wonder of the Trinity is that it doesn't actually stop there, that it continues to blow our minds as we talk about love. Because remember in 1 John when it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." And even the aspect of loving others, that aspect, the aspect of loving others is not done on our own. Because God is the source of all love. But he doesn't then just leave us to say, okay, go carry this out on your own and figure it out. But he sends us with him. And in the book, Daryl puts it like this. "But here's what I am learning. I am to love you not as much as he loves, but with him as he loves you. That is, I am to see him loving you and join him in his loving you. Co-lovers with him, co-lovers of one another." In our task to love one another with a love that is faithful and kind and patient and encouraging, in our task to care for one another, and like 1 John said, to love because we know God, because God first loved us, all of that is done alongside our Lord and our Savior and our God. That we are co-lovers of God and we are co-lovers alongside God. And the reason why I think that's so important in this context of love and what the Holy Spirit is producing in us and the fruit of the Spirit is because this ask at first feels so big as we understand how kind and perfect this love is. And it should feel daunting because this love isn't our own. This love is from the one and only perfect God. But then as we get to know our God more, as we experience his love, as we love him, we start to understand that we are invited into this, that all of this is done with God, alongside God, that he has not left us on our own, but he is right there with us, that we are to be co-lovers of God with God and co-lovers of others alongside with Jesus. And that truly means we are to love all people, everyone. And I'm sure that we all experience challenges in that. And I'm sure we all experience moments where we are frustrated and we are done with that. And personally, I am feeling that when I get on social media right now. So I just got back on social media like last month. I've been on and off for the last two whatever years. You never know when I'm gonna delete it next. Might do it next week, who knows. But recently, as I've gotten back on social media, for some reason, I've gone in and if anyone is one of these people in this room, that's so awesome, and I'm sure you do it perfectly, but I've seen an influx of wellness influencers on my Reels page, okay? And I have a really hard time with wellness influencers only because I have a lot of friends and family that live by them and love them. And me myself, I don't know if that's a proper sentence, but me myself have had my era of listening to wellness influencers way too much. And I remember in 2020 actually, every single food dish I made involved Greek yogurt because everyone was telling me that you need more Greek yogurt. And chlorophyll. I don't know if you guys remember chlorophyll shots, but I would take about 3 of those a day. And I really thought they were gonna change my life, truly. They didn't, fun fact. Greek yogurt does some days, I guess. But it was this idea that these wellness influencers were like, hey, here's the secret to life. You wanna feel better about yourself? You wanna know how to take care of yourself? Do this. And I bought in, truly. And my family loves these things. So unfortunately, I think it's just in my genetics at this point. My grandma's been doing it way before. My grandma would give chlorophyll to our dogs so that when they would pee outside, they wouldn't kill the grass. Sorry if that was TMI or whatever, but that's what she would do. So I guess my grandma's really cool, maybe a wellness influencer. But this idea is that where I have a hard time with it is because it just feels like, hey, here's the secret to figuring it out. And this is how you can do it. And I recognize that in our own health and wellness journeys, we all have different experiences and our bodies are different. And so for sure, it looks different for everyone. But for myself, I felt like a lot of the influencers I was seeing online were just like, this is what this product, you need to buy this and then everything will be fine. And as I started then recognizing, okay, wait, this isn't working. How do I take care of my own body? How do I steward my own body? What does this look like to live a healthy lifestyle for me? I realized that quite simply, the foundational pieces were just what I needed to be doing and I wasn't doing. I wasn't drinking water. I wasn't going for a walk and getting outside. I wasn't sleeping. Right, okay, I should start there. And I find often with wellness, we forget about those simple pieces because we think it's so basic that it actually won't affect or change anything for us. And then I feel like in faith, that is often our same story. That we let go of the simple foundational pieces because we think, oh, I know this already, I've experienced it already, I'm good. And quite simply, I find in my job, I work at Trinity and I work with a lot of amazing students, I find often I'm sitting with guys just saying, hey, don't forget that Jesus loves you. Don't forget the simple truth that I'm sure you've heard in Sunday school or in church many, many times, but Jesus loves you. And as I watch that sit with them and they recognize the truth of this, it actually shifts something within them that, whoa, this foundational piece I have let go of and forgotten. And I've been trying to get all these other pieces together so that I can find strength and courage on my own. I'm gonna make the keys back up. And today, as we talk about love, I want us to let that sit with us and ask ourselves almost, where have we let go of the foundational pieces in our own life? As we think about love and we think of our experience with love and the love that we see the Lord is asking us to step, he's asking us to step into, how have we let go of it? Where have we forgotten this love? Because when we do, church, when we forget this love, the love of God that is found in the Trinity that we are invited into, the love, the invitation of love that is given to us, and then the love that the Spirit refines us into as he makes us into the likeness of God every day. That love, when we forget that, life passes us by. And we know that Jesus has come to give us life and a full life. And when we forget this love, when we forget these moments, we risk a lot. All of a sudden, faith can feel like healthy habits and religion. It can feel like the mundane moments that we just need to take care of so we continue to grow as good people. Our friends and our family, instead of wanting them to come and know Jesus, instead, we see them as projects and we see them as people who need to change. When we forget love, we truly lose the plot. We lose what the Lord is doing and what he is asking of us. We forget who God is because our God is love. When we forget love, we are missing much more than just a simple truth that we've heard in church before. We are actually losing sight of who our loving God is because he is love. For myself, this has been, I think a theme in the past few years where I lost sight of love. And I lost sight of love for God and the love from God. And I remember there was one Sunday, I was in the ER after church, casually. And and I felt so done, physically and spiritually. And I felt so desperate to feel the presence of God. Because I lost him, because I lost love. And I didn't know where he was. And of course he was there. He had never left me. He was with me, he was loving me, but I had chosen to forget it. And I had chosen to walk away. And so I was sitting there and I put on a worship album, Seven, by Brooke Lizard-Wood, which is a response to the book of Revelation. And in the middle of this album, there is a message from Louis Giglio. It's called Seven Words. And he said something that radically changed my perspective on the love of God and the love that is given to us and the love that the Spirit is producing in us. And Louis says this. I don't know why I'm saying first names. I don't know these people like that, but it sounds fun. Louis says this. Sin doesn't make you bad. Sin makes you dead. Therefore, what you need to be working on is not being a better version of you. You need to find somebody that can bring you back from the dead. Sin does not make you bad. It makes you dead. And this walk following Jesus is not about being good or bad. It is about accepting the invitation of love and life that is offered to you through Jesus. And when we forget love, when we let our faith become religion and healthy habits, I find often for myself, I feel like Satan likes to twist my thoughts to then what is good and what is bad. And if I do this, I'm a good person. And to be a good person, I can do that on my own because I just don't have to let people see enough. But when we have love, we recognize that it isn't God saying, be good, but he's saying, here is life and life to the fullest. In my love, there is an abundance that you have never known before. Let me share it with you. Let me share with you what is found at the center of the universe in the relationship of the Trinity, and that is the most perfect and wonderful love that has ever existed and will always exist. It will always be there, and it will always be more than enough. But it takes work. It takes work to love God, and I'm sure many of us in the room can relate to that. That there are stages of your life when loving God feels really hard and it feels really tiring. And there are stages where loving God feels so easy and life-giving because it truly is a relationship. I think we can all think of friends or family members or people in our life where relationship feels like it has its ups and its downs. But so often the love remains. It's just whether you're really feeling it that day or not. And that remains true for the Lord is that his love stays consistent forever. And we can choose to forget or walk away or we're just not feeling it, but it doesn't change that it's there, that it's chasing us down. It doesn't change that when the Spirit says, let me make you into the likeness of God, whether you feel it or not, that this love that I want to produce in you exists all around you as you accept it, as you choose to be with God. That it's not about your feelings, it's not about your emotions, but it's about your obedience to the voice of the Lord in your life, asking you to come into the presence of the Father and be made into his likeness. That truly the fruit of the Spirit, it's not healthy habits, but it is abundant life and a full life found in Christ alone. And so this morning, I wanna give us some space to respond to that. And for some of us in the room, maybe that looks like asking ourselves, where have I lost love for God? Where have I forgotten my love for God? Or maybe it's, where have I forgotten that God loves me? Where have I lost sight of my Creator who is abundant in my life, whether I feel it or not? For some of us, we might need to ask, Lord, help me to love others well, because I see in 1 John that this is how I am to live out this love, is to care for my brothers and sisters. That the love in 1 Corinthians, I must be sharing with those around me. And maybe for some of us, the Spirit is doing something different. And I just ask that you're obedient to what the Lord is speaking to you right now, what the Lord is pressing on your heart in maybe the most still, small way. And maybe for you, you're not actually quite sure what God is doing or how to respond. And I think that's the beauty of us having prayer available is that you don't have to do it alone. If you want to discern or just receive prayer with someone, I would encourage you to come up. So many times I come up here and I'm like, Lucas, pray for me. I don't know what for, but just pray. I need it. And so it is just an open space to respond to what the Lord is doing, because he loves you and he wants to meet with you in a very personal way right now. And if that's new for you, that's okay. There's no place you have to be, no perfect way to respond, but simply to be present with our God. And so maybe that simply looks like, Lord, I want to know your love more. And that's your prayer. And that's powerful. And that's amazing. And so as we respond today, feel free to meet with Jesus, because he's wonderful and he loves you so, so much. I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able as I pray for us, and the prayer team is going to make their way up. But I just want to pray for us as we move into this time to respond. Jesus, you are fantastic. You are kind. You are patient. You are love. And Lord, this morning, as we learn about the fruit that is being produced in us through the Spirit to make us into the likeness of you, that is love, that the fruit of love, Father, may it be abounding in our own lives. Jesus, in the areas that we have lost sight of you, that we have forgotten how to love you and what your love feels like and challenges us in our own life, Lord, may we remember this morning. May we come alive before your presence today. Jesus, we thank you that we don't have to get the strength to do this on our own, that we don't have to make this love exist on our own, but we come into the love that has existed forever, found in you, that we are invited into it, and we are asked to share it alongside you. Jesus, this morning, may we be obedient to you. May we be bold enough to follow your voice. You speak in so many ways. Father, we are listening. We are hungry to know you more. And so, Spirit, ultimately, make us more into the likeness of God this morning, each and every one of us. All of this is for you, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in more resources, messages, or signing up for our current events, you can find everything on our website at forestcitychurch.ca.